Hello folks, and welcome to Telling Tinder Tales, the show where people get to tell their interesting dating stories with me, Chris O'Neill.
And me, Thomasin Lockwood. So, we have two great guests on today, Fielding and Kinkus, who are calling in from across the Atlantic, and you'll find out later why Kinkus is so special to the show.
Let's do it. So folks, can we have a big hello from our guests today?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here. Fielding, would you like to tell us where you're calling in from and give us your Tinder tale, please?
I would love to. I'm calling in from Los Angeles, and here's my little Tinder tale. Or I'll just say J-Date. I don't know if anybody knows J-Date. So it's dating for Jewish singles. And so I connected. Let's just call him Mitch. Can we do that? Just so I have a name. I protect everyone, kind of. Not with my friends. So I match with Mitch, and I see he looks cute. He's from the Midwest. He's Jewish. He's nice. His grammar's on point. I'm like, okay, let's go out. Mm-hmm. Full head of hair. I mean, I would even just say bushy. And so, and I say this because my ex-husband also was a balding middle-aged character actor. I have no problem with baldness. However, at all. Like, I welcome, I'm a chubby chaser, bald, whatever.
Yeah.
So Mitch picks me up, maybe three hairs on his head. So right away, I'm like, oh, everyone's a liar in Los Angeles. I mean, I don't even care, but it's like, you're a liar. Like, you're debuting yourself as a liar, but fine. So we get in the car. And so I had tickets to see Edward Albee's The Goat at the Amundsen. And because I was like lonely single girl and just really wanted company, I'm like, I have these tickets. I mean, not to make this a big to-do, but do you want to see The Goat? And he's like, absolutely. Of course. I love theater. I'm actually trying to be a writer. And then I really lost my lady boner because I'm not here to midwife your creative process. So like, please, I'm done. I'm exhausted. So we're driving to the play and he stops the car.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is where my body gets cut up and I'm going to go in the trunk. Like, here we go. Because it was this really eerie, like, I'm going to pull over here. And again, I'm a New Yorker. Like, I've seen a little bit. But I was like, what's happening? He pulls out a like big journal and goes, I wrote some short stories and I'd love your feedback. I literally want to blow my brains out. Like, I would rather teach like spoken word at a women's correctional facility. Like, I literally want to die. Like, I'm like, do people not want to date me? They just want me to be their creative midwife and their fucking, you know, writing butler. Okay. So it's horrible. Handwriting is an F-. It's like, you know, that sense when you just leave your body. I'm just like, why is this happening to me? Then let me speed up. There's worse. So then we get out of the car and we're walking. There's this Disney Hall by the Amundsen, which is really beautiful. And as we're walking, I'm nervous because I'm also like in that self-hate mode where I'm like, this is what I'm attracting. Like this. I mean, I know I'm not Yiddish Salma Hayek, but like, this is what I'm attracting. And so I'm like doing my chit chat thing. And he goes, do you think you could be quiet? he goes, I really just want to take in the beauty of the Disney Hall. Like, he's not wrong. I do need to be quiet. I do go on silent meditation retreats. But at this point, I would decapitate him, slip him white oleander or some whatever that toxic poison is in his little fucking cherry coke. So we go to the play. Then afterwards, I was like, doing my like nervous chit chat. I'm like, how'd you like it? He's like, yeah, I kind of would do anything to get the last 2 hours of my life back. I'm like, I'm a good person. I'm philanthropic. I donate. Like, why is this happening to me? And then just to cap it all off, we go to this bar, Molly Malone's. I'm sober, so I have my like cranberry and soda. This is not like the big part of the story. Like, it's like whatever. I drink it and there's vodka in it. And that's like the first time that's happened to me almost ever. And I make this face like, oh, like whatever. I just kind of, it was an accident. And he's like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, I'm sober. And then he like gets in this weird, like sober companion, like almost intervention. Like, do you want to talk about your feelings? Like, how are you doing right now? And I'm like,
you want to talk.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, now you want to get out my journal? Because reading your horrible short story was like reading a third grader's journal from sleepaway camp. So then we go back to my house and I have sex with him.
Wait.
Because I don't even know what to do at this point. Wait. My horrible bed throws out his back and we date for 2 months. And that's my story.
Very nice.
Okay. I quite literally do not know where to begin. I suppose I could ask. I'm going to ask this question. It's probably an inappropriate question. What would someone have to do for you not to have sex with them and date for 2 months?
That's the best question ever. Probably come see my stand-up and afterwards say, wow, you look like you're having fun up there. Good for you. Which is what I've had as well. That I would say is the nadir or the bottom. But yeah, great follow-up question.
I don't know. I think telling someone to shut up so I can look at a building. That's pretty high on the what I term shit list. But anyway, Thomason, you must have many questions.
I've written so many notes. I don't know where to start. Wow, Mitch is a bitch, first of all.
Thank you. I almost want to say his full name.
I don't blame you. I love, first of all, when you said he showed up to the date and he had about 3 hairs on his head. I put a note here saying, that's the same hair amount as Homer Simpson. So that's what I've been picturing. First of all, do you remember anything about the short stories? Like what they were about? What were the themes?
Oh, I left that part out. Yeah, it was like getting out from under his dad's plumbing business in the Midwest. And how he...
Was it autobiographical?
Yes.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He kept talking about this beam of light. Like he was some like poor man's Hemingway. Like it didn't even make sense. It was just rambling. Then something about his dog. I literally went into a gentle gray out. Okay. Like I wasn't a blackout reading this. So I would love to be able to tell you more details. But I really was just so sad for myself.
Okay.
Like maybe I should just be a lesbian.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of women say maybe I should be a lesbian.
Lesbian's journal too.
Yeah.
They do. I'll get into decoupage, watercoloring. I mean, yeah.
Before we go to Kinkas, I have one question to ask. You said he was a plumber by background, right? Did he ever actually do any useful repairs around the house?
I don't think we got that far. I mean, he was such a little bitch that I knew not to ask him to do any home repairs. And I thought, and also I feel like that's intimate. Like once you start asking someone to like look at a shingle or a roof, yeah, then it's like, I'm in love with you.
Okay, fine. Redefining intimacy.
What really hit me in your story, just to like get real for a bit, is that you said, I'm not here to midwife your creative process. And I kind of got like flashbacks and I kind of like was astral projecting for a minute because I was like, oh, that's the phrase for it, right?
Yeah. It's power. Mm. I feel like it sounds like we relate on that level because I feel like I subsume myself where I'm too much this like 24/7 emotional artistic concierge. Like, let me help you so I don't focus on myself. Let me boost you up, which is kind of why I got divorced. So I have a lot to say on that matter.
Yeah. It's interesting, yeah, right? Because you want to be a cheerleader and you see, if you love someone, right, you see so much greatness in them and you're like, the world just needs to catch up and like, I want to help you. But you are right in that, like, it's almost like, you put that before your own, maybe. I don't know. It's
totally, totally. Yeah. But there's that just thing of just that beautiful balance. And I think I don't know that I've achieved that yet.
Mm. And Kinkas, do you have a question for this wonderful woman?
Did you have any hope for the relationship for the 2 months that you were in it?
I think I was just trying to stay ambulatory, not drink any more cranberry and sodas that had vodka in it, and not like go into a wild rage. I knew that he wasn't the one, so I just looked at him as practice. And I was just and I also was just hoping he wouldn't ask me to be quiet again.
Yeah.
Very good. Excellent.
Okay. Chris, any more comments or questions?
No, I do think there's a solo show in that, but
yeah,
you have to write it. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I feel healed just by telling, a little more healed by this. So I just want to thank you all. That did more for me than 10 years of therapy. So thank you.
Thank you. I think it saved me a lot of time too. Great. Well, listen, let's, in the theme of artists and dating today, we have a very special guest with us today. I am so excited he's here. Kinkas, who is the composer of the music that you heard at the beginning of this podcast, he is here with us today. Kinkas, whenever you're ready, play yourself in if you like. Tell us where you're calling from, and when you're ready, the floor is yours for your Tinder tale.
Well, hi. Thank you for having me. I'm a citizen of the world, a little bit of an unusual story. I'm a Brazilian, born and raised, who then lived in the States for a long time, which is where I picked up my English and studied music in the States. And I'm calling from Mexico City. So life has taken me on a wild ride. And I think the story I have to tell today, a Mexican artist who I'd recorded with a few years prior called me and said, hey, I have the budget here to bring you over to Mexico City for 10 days to be part of the video clips and film launch and record launch for the project you helped me with 3 years ago. I never expected, you know, when I did the work with him that this would happen. And when I got here, they had told me to show up at the Angel of Independence. It's a famous town square here. And where they were going to be filming, it's on Sundays, they close the avenue for bicycles. And what they were doing is giving people different colors t-shirts and coordinating the bicycle traffic around the circle and filming from above to like form shapes and stuff. But the main guy, my artist, he has a little dog called Lázaro. And in fact, his artist name was inspired by the dog. He was Lázaro Allende. And his dog was his muse. And this dog, you know, he could sit at the table and like smoke a cigar and discuss poetry with you. Lázaro was amazing. He's more human than many humans I know. Anyway, so he asked me to take care of Lázaro for him because he had to go up to the top of the angel, the sculpture, to film from up there. And they weren't letting him bring the dog. So I was like, okay, well, cool. I'll help you out with Lázaro. So as I was walking around with this little dog, it's a Yorkie, very scruffy, kind of dirty Yorkie. And this young lady comes up to me and says, hey, I know that dog. Who are you and what are you doing with my friend's dog? You know? And which I later found out that she, you know, she had actually thought I was pretty cute and took that opportunity to approach me. And I said, oh, I'm Kinkas. I'm, you know, the Brazilian musician that helped to make the record. And, you know, I'm super autistic. And I was in my camera phase. So I had like five different like film cameras with like a black and white film on one, slide film on the other, and lenses and stuff. So I went into my super nerd mode and started showing her all of my lenses and cameras and different films and stuff. And she was, you know, feigning interest. She was actually a psychiatry student who thought, well, what a cute little autistic boy. My friend came down and said, oh, I see you guys have met. Hey, we're going to go film a part of the video now where you're going to play the bass on a bicycle. The whole band is going to be riding bicycles and playing their instruments live, okay? I'm like, oh, that sounds like it look cool. So I gave Alexis, this girl I just met, I gave her a camera, one of my like nice old Japanese cameras. And I said, that was easy to use, the Olympus trip. I said, hey, can you do the stills, you know, while we're filming this thing? And that was my way to keep her like in sight while we're doing this thing. It was fun. I had to play the space with one hand while I was holding the handlebar with the other hand. But at the end, I couldn't find her. Oh, where's this girl gone with my camera, right? So, you know, we parked the bicycles and I found Mauricio and I asked him, hey, you know, that girl I just met. Oh, yeah, Alexis. Yeah, she has my camera, dude. She disappeared. Where, you know, Do you know where I could find her? And he's like, oh yeah, don't worry. Her house is actually, like, she lives with a couple of the girls, and it's where we all go for beers and have to relax at the end of the day anyway. But if you want to get a head start, it's over here in this street, number 6. So I went over there and knocked on the door. There was this beautiful, very like old school, pre-Columbian Mexico house. She opened the door and said, oh, hi, here's your camera. I knew I was going to see you guys later, so I didn't worry about giving it to you right away. But, you know, why don't you come up? So, and this was like 4 hours before everybody else was going to start showing up. So I'm just sitting there with her in this balcony, you know, in this beautiful place full of art. She's beautiful, and, you know. And by the time people started showing up, we were already in this little love bubble. And I decided to move to Mexico. I told her, I said, I'm gonna come live here. And she's like, oh, cool, interesting. And where are you thinking of living? And I said, well, with you. And she's like, yeah, why do you think I'm coming? You know, I'm very straight like that. You know, I do subterfuge very well. I say it, I see what I feel, and if it doesn't work, then too bad. It wouldn't have worked eventually anyway. So I'd rather be, wow, like, you know, very open, like an open book right away. And yeah, and she didn't believe it until 8 months later when I showed up at the airport, like with all of my possessions. Aww. That I hadn't sold. The airline gave me the excess baggage as a wedding gift. I told them my story, you know, like, dude, you have like 3 extra bags. I'm like, oh, I can't afford it. I'm going to go get married. I'm like, oh, okay, go ahead. Mm. You were very, very nice. You were still nice people in airlines back then. And that's been 13 years. We have 2 little girls. Aww. And, you know, we live here. She's a full-fledged psychiatrist now. And I became a composer for the YouTube Audio Library, and which wouldn't have happened, like the contacts that I made having moved to Mexico. Were the ones that allowed me to get this kind of work, which has been the best work I've ever had. It pays really well, and it's fun and creative. And I have my little studio here in the woods, and you know, little girls are my life. Somebody I met in real life. That's what's odd about it.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Thank you. I loved that. Thank you so much for sharing, Kinkas. Wow. I you know what is so funny, because like I feel like I was like, you know, me and Fielding were probably like sisterhood. Like, I'm like, you know, like, I don't want to date an artist who like hasn't got there. Da, 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 da. And then you started playing the guitar, and I immediately was like, oh my God, like musicians are like, oh my gosh, like I forgot how, like just immediately forgot. But this is.
We're not all jerks.
Not, of course, absolutely. I also, it really made me laugh when with Lazaro, you walking in, and she said, I know that dog. And for a minute, I thought the story was going to be that Lazaro was a famous dog. And that was going to be the meet cute. My question
is. It kind of was. Dude.
Yeah.
A little bit.
For sure. But I want to know him. Have you told your daughters the story of how you met yet?
Oh, I'm sure they've heard it. You know, people ask us a lot, because she's a Mexican and a Brazilian, and they want to know like how it happened. And but I always add a little, when she's with me and she's there to be able to defend herself, I add a little lie just to get a reaction from her. Where at the point where I say, oh, I'm the Brazilian musician that worked with Lázaro, at that point I say, and then she said, wow, you're Kinkas? Can I have an autograph? And that she was a fan of some sort, you know, which that didn't happen. But I say it when she's near so that she can be, oh, come on, that's not what
I love it. Oh, that's cute. Chris, what's your question?
I talk to dogs. I stop and talk to dogs all the time. Don't talk to people, but talk to dogs. I just think, if you had not been walking the dog, right, you would not have been in the relationship you're in now. Is that fair?
No, because I would have had a second chance to meet her that evening. She was more like it was meant to be, you know, the fact that we ran into each other before and we had a chance to just be alone together for a while before it was a social situation. Yeah. There were other pretty women around that might have distracted me.
Oh, you leave that part out.
And, you know, she was not the kind to compete. she would have been the kind to be like, oh well, whatever, good for him, you know. So I think that was maybe if it wasn't for the doggy, you know, I would have had a 2-month relationship with a different Mexican woman instead of being married to this one.
When you tell the story, do you ever say, ah, but there were other pretty women around?
No. But she knows.
That's a very sensible idea.
He opens with that when he tells his children. Just so you know, there was actually
a whole bunch of gorgeous Mexican women.
Voluptuous, gorgeous women
and
teaming.
I had my pick. I basically had my pick because I was a musician.
I know. It's true. I got excited when you started playing because you're different than a drummer. I dated drummers in the late 90s.
Oh, I'm a drummer as well. There's the separate thing.
Okay, but you don't give off drummer vibes.
That was the ad for drum machines in the 80s. It was like, the drum machine doesn't smell bad, doesn't miss the beat, and doesn't hit on your girlfriend.
Fielding, do you have any questions for King Cass?
I love this tale. It gave me hope. Actually, but also, I was just wondering, would you say this is a case almost of opposites attract in the sense that you were very forthcoming? You're like, you're not good with subterfuge. And this is a woman who absconded with your camera within minutes. So do you think this is, I mean, I don't know if she's a criminal record.
In many ways, it is opposites attract. In fact, a lot of my previous relationships had been with either music fans or other musicians. So people I'd met somehow at a gig. And there was always that thing of being in the same universe. And when I met her, it was very interesting that she had this whole life as a medical mm-hmm. professional. You know, she had great taste in music. That's one thing I loved about her right away. Her playlist was killer. Stuff I hadn't heard before that was really great and good taste. So she can appreciate what I do, right? And where I've also, you know, I've gotten into meditation. I'm interested in how minds work. Mm. So when she talks about her work, it's really interesting to me. And when I see her become vice president of the Mexican Psychiatric Association, you know, she's done some amazing things in her career. And I'm super proud. And there's not ever any hint of competitiveness or anything like that, because we're in such different fields.
Yeah. She's a sorceress. I'm obsessed with her.
I was just trying to pet this dog called Lazaro, who's really cool. And this guy just handed me his camera and like ran away. And I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's exactly.
I love that the moral of this story, King Kez, is you literally had one conversation with the right woman and you were like, that means we're engaged.
And he turned up and he insisted like on that, marrying.
Trust me, I've tried it. It never worked.
Fair enough. All right. I think this has been worrying and fascinating in equal mixes. We've had optimism and pessimism. So on that basis, thank you very much. So Fielding, have you anything you want to plug before we go?
You can find me on my Instagram, which is at Fielding Edlow. I try to post frequent clips, or my website's fieldingedlow.com for stand-up dates. Thank you.
Excellent. Very good. And Kinkas, where can people find you?
Probably my website is the aggregator of other things. So that would be kinkasmorera.com.
We'll stick that in the notes. So if people want to track it down and buy some music from you.
You can just Google me or search for me on any of the streaming platforms and stuff.
Excellent. Thomason, have you anything to say before we head off?
Just to say thank you to our guests and to you, our listeners. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please, please, please do give us a follow and a review. It really makes a difference to getting the podcast out there. And please give us a 5-star review if you enjoyed it. If you do, I will send you an autograph of Lazaro the dog or the musician, whichever you prefer. And if you give us a 0-1-star review and leave us a mean comment, then I'm just going to reply to it and say that you talk too much.
Very good. Excellent. Okay, well, you've been wonderful, folks. Thank you very much. And we'll be played out live now. Thank you, Kinkas.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Aw, it's the Telling Tinder Tales podcast.
Sorry, is that not?
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Telling Tinder Tales is hosted and produced by me, Chris O'Neill, and Thomason Lockwood. Produced and edited by Lucy Regan, with music by Kinkas Morera. It's a Jester's Comedy Dublin production and is no way affiliated with or endorsed by Tinder. If you have a story to tell, please get in touch. Details are in the show notes. And if you like us, instead of swiping right, follow us on Instagram and or TikTok at Telling Tinder Tales.